إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا.
This verse mentions the consequence of granting man the faculties of hearing and sight. He was shown the right and the wrong path. At another place, the words used are وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, or have we not shown him both paths? Surah number 90, verse 10. In Surah Shams, it is said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, or then God inspired it with its evil and its good. Surah number 81, verse 9. After being guided to these paths, man became a witness upon himself to good and evil, and was left with no excuse to adopt the wrong path. The previous surah refers to this fact in the words, بَلِلْ إِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرًا. In fact, he himself is a witness upon his own self, however much he may put up excuses. The words, إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا, or it is now up to him to be grateful or ungrateful, mention man's freedom of choice. After giving man the awareness to distinguish between good and evil, the Almighty gave him the choice to adopt whichever path he wanted. If he treads the path of virtue, he will become grateful to his Lord and will be rewarded for it. And if he treads the path of vice, he will become ungrateful and will be punished for it. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَلَاسِلًا وَأَغْلَالًا وَسَعِيرًا. We have prepared for the disbelievers chains and yokes and a blazing fire. This verse mentions the obvious consequence of man being blessed with the ability to distinguish between good and evil. When the Almighty blessed man with this ability, he will definitely reward those who are grateful to him and will punish those who are ungrateful to him. If this does not happen, then blessing him with this ability would be a useless act. But God is wise, and it is against his wisdom for him to do something meaningless. The implication of the verse is that since the Almighty has blessed man with the awareness to distinguish between good and evil, hence the grateful and the ungrateful will not be treated equally by him. For the latter, chains and yokes and a blazing fire is ready to greet them. Their feet shall be put in chains and necks in iron yokes, and they will be dragged towards hell and cast into it. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. But the loyal, they indeed will drink cups of wine flavored with camphor, a spring near which these servants of God will drink and take out its channels wherever they want. These verses mention the fate of the grateful in contrast to that of the disbelievers mentioned in the previous verse. They are called Abrar, or the loyal. The real meaning of Birrun is fulfillment of promises and trusts, and the real meaning of the word Shukr is to acknowledge and discharge one's obligation towards favors received. A clear element of commonality exists between the two words. Servants of God who acknowledge their obligation towards His favors and carry it out are the ones who should be called loyal. The word kas is used both for a drink and the cup in which it is drunk. The word mizaj means a flavor added to temperate drink. At times, in order to reduce the intensity of the taste, smell, and flavor of food and drinks, certain things are added to them at the time of consumption. In classical Arabic poetry, we find mention of such substances and other similar ones being added to wine for this purpose. In paradise, this flavor will be taken from the sweet water from the fountain of Kafur. The word Kafur here does not refer to camphor, which is its general connotation. The Quran itself has clarified that it is a spring in paradise on whose banks its dwellers will sit and drink wine. They will add the flavor of the spring's water to the wine and make it even more tasty and flavorsome. A question may arise here on the reason for the spring being named Kafur. Though such a question should not generally arise in case of names, yet the thought does cross one's mind that there must be some relationship between the entity and its name. This relationship is of the category of the mutashabihat, and only those who are fortunate enough to reach paradise and drink from this spring will get the answer to this question.
The particle be in the expression yashrabu biha is an adverb of place, just as it is in the Quranic expressions yu'minuna bil ghaib and yakhshawna rabbahum bil ghaib. The implication is that this fountain will be reserved for the near ones of God for their wine consumption. The word servants of God refer to the loyal mentioned earlier. It is for them that the Almighty will make such an elaborate arrangement as to reserve a fountain for their wine consumption. It may well be kept in consideration that there is a great affinity between drinking wine and drinking it on the banks of a fountain. The word tafjira in the expression yufajjirunaha tafjira means to take out a lot of branches from a fountain and make a network of them. The implication is that the dwellers of paradise will not have to travel to this fountain, and anyone from among them will be able to take out its branches whenever he wants to. He will be able to quench his thirst and savor his taste buds with it without any hardship of travel. يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. They used to keep their vows and remained fearful of the day whose horror will spread far and wide. Mentioned in this verse are the traits and deeds of these people which will entitle them to such reward. The word nazr refers to a self-promise made to do a good deed. The trait of these loyal people specifically mentioned by the Quran is fulfillment of promises. People who are so conscientious as to fulfill self-made promises can be expected to be even more conscientious regarding obligations imposed on them by God. Our exegetes have widened the scope of the word nazr and included in it all various acts, whether imposed by a person on himself or by the Almighty on him. It should be kept in mind that nazr or vow has occupied great importance in all previous religions, and it was rampant in pre-Islamic Arabia too. People who wanted to do virtuous deeds as Hajj, Umrah, animal sacrifice, and spending in the way of God would make vows to do so, and then would fulfill them with great fervor. The real reason among the Arabs for this was because they were unlettered. They were not very conversant with the religious rites, and for this reason, the pious among them would fill this gap by making vows. After the advent of Islam, when all the principles and corollaries of religion became evident to them, this affair of making vows was reduced. Vows which related to polytheistic practices were completely done away with. Others which burdened a person beyond his capacity were either prohibited or were reformed. Since this surah belongs to the period when people were yet to be informed on the details of the directives and etiquette of Islam, vows are specially and emphatically mentioned in it. Later, when all the Sharia had been revealed, the affair of vows was reduced, as is mentioned earlier. The word mustatir means widespread and all-embracing. It refers to the degree of fear such people had of the punishment of the hereafter, which would be widespread and all-embracing. In other words, on that day, each and every person, low or high, poor or rich, ruler or ruled, and even the worshippers and their deities, will have to face the horrors of that day. Only those whom the Almighty will protect will be saved from it. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they used to give food to the poor, the orphan, and the captive, in spite of being in need for it. This is a mention of how these people deal with their fellow human beings. They fulfill the needs of the poor, orphans, and the captives, while disregarding their own. The word it'am is not used in the limited sense of providing food only. It includes providing other basic necessities of life. It is used in this broad meaning in the Quran. Generally, people have regarded the antecedent of the pronoun in Allah Hubbihi to be God. They interpret the verse to mean that the righteous people feed the poor and the orphans because of their love of God. Although this interpretation is grammatically possible, I, in the light of parallel verses of the Quran,
prefer the interpretation of those who regard this antecedent to be food. Thus, as per this interpretation, the verse means that these people give preference to the need of the poor and the orphans, even though they are needy themselves. There are various reasons for preferring this view. Firstly, the character of loyal people of God is being portrayed, and the Quran says that people who are truly loyal to God are the ones who spend in the way of God what is dearest to them. It is dear to them because it is either very valuable in itself or because they badly need it. Thus the Quran says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, or you shall never be truly loyal until you spend in the way of God what you dearly cherish. Surah number 3, verse 92. At another place it is said, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ فَصَاصَةٌ, or and they give preference to the poor and the indigent over themselves, even though they are in need. Surah number 59, verse 9. Secondly, in a succeeding verse, the reward of these loyal people is mentioned thus, وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا, or and as reward for being patient gave them paradise and robes of silk. A little deliberation will show that the real aspect which highlights their patience is that in spite of being needy themselves, they feed and clothe the orphans and the poor. If the other interpretation is adopted, there is nothing in the verse which highlights their trait of patience, even though the discourse entails it. This explanation automatically ascertains the antecedent of the pronoun in ala hubbihi. Thirdly, the spending in the way of God, which is from one's dear and cherished wealth and is done while sacrificing one's own needs, is in fact the very one meant to please God. With regard to this, the subject of God's love automatically is raised in it. In this verse, captives are mentioned alongside the poor and the indigent, keeping in view the circumstances of those times. Captives who were arrested in those times for a crime or some investigation would generally fulfill their needs by asking people. It is evident from the statements of Qadi Abu Yusuf that this situation remained till the time of the Abbasids. In current times, the nature of the jail punishment has changed a lot, and one does not need to spend on the captives the way it was once needed. However, there are still various situations in which one may need to spend on the captives and their attendants under this very head.